This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about Biden defending the Afghanistan withdrawal this hour. I will get to some emails. A bright, shining example of Western governments turning their guns inward against their own people. Man, oh man, what an example we have here and why that works. All that and so much is coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I wanted to play this. Joe Biden got up today. He gave a speech at the United Nations. And he began talking about the Afghanistan withdrawal. And I'm going to let you know, I'm going to stay calm. I feel like I've been getting angry every now and then. I've been getting angry more as these people have gotten more evil, as they keep trying to murder us. And I've been getting angrier, and I'm not going to let this get to me. The Afghanistan withdrawal thing, you remember, it got to me really, really badly. That's probably the most upset I've ever been on the radio when they got 13 of our guys killed. Because it was all for political reasons, remember? It was the only reason they woke up one day and said, get out of Afghanistan. They wanted a big political win for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It had nothing to do with strategy or saving lives. It was just, it was all about poll numbers. It was all about approval numbers. And they get up and they say this stuff.
Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it. And I did. It was a hard decision. But the right decision.
These people are monsters. And Biden is probably uniquely a monster. And I say that not just because I dislike Joe Biden. Biden's career, his entire political career, has been doing crap like this. Doing terrible things. And not showing the tiniest amount of remorse. So I know we don't need to spend a bunch of time rehashing Afghanistan because you know it. You listen to the show, you know the story, you know what happened. But I just want to again recap. We stayed there for 20 years without a clear mission. We know now, courtesy of the Afghanistan papers from the Washington Post. I still can't believe the Washington Post did such an amazing bit of journalism. They've never done that before. But we got the Afghanistan papers and we found out that very early on, from Rumsfeld on, very early on, American politicians and commanders, they didn't have any clear mission. There was no clear objective. Do this and the war is won. And so we spent 20 years over there and our people are dying. They're getting maimed. It is a disaster in every way. For 20 years, American politicians, Democrats and Republicans, cheated our men and women on the ground in Afghanistan. Didn't even give them a mission while they were, of course, dying and being maimed. How many people listening to the sound of my voice right now are missing body parts because of Afghanistan? The generals, admirals, they don't get a pass either. Complete mismanagement, insanity for 20 years. 20 years of no clear mission, no nothing. And then Joe Biden gets into office, and this soulless monster, he's dipping a bit in the polls. People are mad about inflation. He needs a little shot in the arm, if you will. He needs a little boost. And they look at Afghanistan. And they say to themselves, they say to each other, wow, think of the PR campaign we could run if we just got out of Afghanistan by September 11th on the 20th anniversary of it. We could do a big press release, emails, probably have a huge ceremony. So let's just get out. He tells his State Department to get out. The State Department, they go to the military and they say, hey, get out. The generals, some of them, said, what do you mean just get out? We can't just leave. There's a process. You have to do this step by step to make sure your people get out first, make sure you're doing it the right way. We have all these criminals held in jail. We can't just get out. And the State Department flat out overrules them and says, no, leave, pack it up now. So they do. They pack everything up and they just simply fly away. Well, part of that 20-year mission in Afghanistan was building up the Afghan security forces so that they can withstand the Taliban once America leaves. Well, we must have done some really great training with those guys because they collapsed in about 15 seconds after America left. They collapsed. Now the Taliban have all of our gear, all of our weapons, NVGs, secure comms, Black Hawk helicopters, you know it. The country is in complete anarchy. People are falling from the planes, and the Biden administration, which had hoped for great poll numbers out of this, they instead got videotape people get home at night and turn on the news, and there are Afghanis falling from the freaking planes and splattering on the ground in Afghanistan. Biden administration, they do what they always did and just tried to ignore it. Remember, people forget this part. I'll never forget it. Joe Biden was on vacation. So was his press sec, Jen Psaki at the time. So was Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State. They all just took vacation and they didn't even come back. It's not like something bad happened and they came racing right back. They just stayed. They were going to try to ride it out. But it got so bad. They scramble, they come back. The poll numbers don't look good. Uh-oh, now we got a crab sandwich on our hand. How are we going to eat it? I know, let's send the troops back in. Only the troops don't get to go back to the secure base where they can secure it and be safe and evac in an orderly fashion. No, they send them back to a civilian airport that can't be properly secured. The commanders on the ground don't have the authority they need to do things like take out terrorists when they see them. A scumbag ISIS suicide bomber vaporizes himself, murders 13 of our troops, and maims others. I need to point that out. We always talk about the 13 dead. How many? Remember Vargas? We've played his audio a bunch. Vargas Andrews, I believe that was his name. He's missing huge parts of his body, armed legs, gone, limbs gone, people maimed, leg, arms, horrible. And then the administration, after getting our people killed, knows now they look super bad. People were already upset about Afghanis falling from the planes, but now they're really, really angry because America's troops just died and they didn't have to die. And so for political reasons, they gave a response. We sent a Reaper drone out, only we Reaper droned the wrong guy. No one's ever been given an explanation who they thought this guy might have been, what the details are. How do you mismatch that? You know, it's not like a whoopsie. Oh, I thought it was going to be heads. It turns out tails. We vaporized 10 people, 6 of them children, all of them completely innocent. The Biden administration did all that. And after all that was done, no apologies, no resignations. There wasn't even a formal reprimand of anyone at any time. Remember, we had Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, saying to Congress that he has no regrets. Antony Blinken said as much himself. They asked John Kirby, is anyone at least getting a slap on the wrist for murdering 10 people? No, not at all.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie, but what we are going to do is learn from this.
Let me ask you something. If you were responsible for that, let's say, boom, I just magic fairy dust. I made you president of the United States of America. And let's say you were responsible for all that death, that disaster, all the pain, all the suffering, the parents crying. And let's say that it was an accident for you. Let's just assume you had the right motives. You screwed everything up. It was an accident and people died. How ashamed would you still be? How do you sleep at night? How could your conscience give you any rest if you were responsible for that? Any normal person, I don't even have to know you personally. Any normal human being would be just overwhelmed with guilt over all of it. The president of the United States of America brags about it publicly.
When I came to office as president, Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it, and I did. It was a hard decision, but the right decision.
Remember when I said, I think if you stay in this game long enough, you can cease becoming human? That's what you're hearing right there. That's not even a human being. Anyway. All right, speaking of innocent civilians, if you're an innocent civilian in Israel, you understand that you live in a war zone. You don't have to hop on a ship and cross the ocean to find one. It's your home. It's your school. It's where you work. It's the coffee shop on the corner. The IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, what they've been doing is trying and succeeding, I should point out, to save the lives of the innocent as they're under terrorist attack all the time. It can be as simple as a flak jacket or as elaborate as a bomb shelter or an armored ambulance, but they're trying to keep people alive. Help them do what they do. Help them. Call them. 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have Spencer Lindquist coming up next. He's an investigative journalist. George Soros, obviously you know who that is. He's spreading his money around doing something new, something equally destructive and something new. New voters in swing states. Wait until you hear what Spencer is going to tell us. He's coming up about 10 minutes from now. So anyway, shoot me your emails, whatever you want. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, that was good looking out, giving me that plate. And, well, I should clarify. Did you clean the plate, Chris? He did? So yesterday, the day before yesterday, Ob had made her homemade hamburger helper. You know how white trash I am. I love Hamburger Helper. Ob says, there's too many preservatives. So she came up with this homemade version that is so good. It's make you weak in the knees. I put the recipe online. So don't be emailing. It's online. All right. Any of my social media, it's on there. Anyway, she made Hamburger Helper. I try to not eat very much of it when she first makes it. And that's very difficult because it's so good. But I try not to because her Hamburger Helper reheated is one of the great meals in history. Yesterday, getting ready to come in the studio to do this award-winning show. We've actually never won any awards, but we're getting ready to do the amazing Jesse Kelly Show. I get a plate of Hamburger Helper ready. I bring it in. I nuke it here in the studio. I eat. That's why I was so energized last night. I had Hamburger Helper on my mind. I ate the dirty dish. I just wasn't thinking. I went and I put it in the sink. And Chris, right before the show, he just came and handed it to me and the plate's clean. Chris, I think you should do... I might start bringing in more dishes. What? Why can't you do those too? You did this other one. It's obviously something you enjoy doing. The cups were piling up. Chris, can't we bribe a maid or something to do some of this stuff? This isn't man's work. We need to bribe somebody. We're definitely getting into trouble for that, by the way. But what else will be new? Anyway, let's get to some emails. Jesse. The subject of this one is Little Caesars. He said, your tongue is tuned to be very nicely. I don't know what that means. However, forget your Italian ancestors, because Little Caesars is the worst stuff I've ever had in my life. Excuse me, sir? I would take that back if I were you. Little Caesars is dynamite. Dear Dick Cheney of Paintball, is there any chance you could have your dad on the show as a guest? He sounds hilarious, and we would love to hear where your roots come from. Also, it wouldn't hurt to hear what a real man with actual man-sized hands has to say. You know what? That's not nice. His name is Bradley. That's not very nice at all. My dad probably would come on the show. My mom told me he prefers when I talk about him. Of course he does. Of course he does. That's the most my dad thing in the world. He probably would come on. I'm not totally sure. We'd probably have to pre-record that interview in case anything was said that had to be dropped and just cut out completely. I'm not even worried about individual words, but entire concepts that my dad would go into, we probably would not be able to air those, a lot of those. I'm just letting you know, look, this is a construction man. And that's what his dad did before him. That's all he's ever done. He's a rough human being. My kids now come home, and one of their favorite things when they get back from visiting their grandparents' house is telling Ob all the things they heard grandpa say. Did you hear what he said this about that? What he said this? Did you hear? Hey, mom, you should have heard what grandpa said about these people. I don't know that we could air my dad. I don't know that we could, but it would be awesome. Hi, Dairy King. How would you suggest handling girl-on-girl bullying? Would fisticuffs be appropriate? Dang, that's a heavy question. I thought we were going to go politics there. Girl-on-girl bullying would... Look, I've told you many, many times, I really can't speak for women. But for men, for young men, for boys, there is no second way to handle bullying. You must fight them. You can't tell. I'm going to tell mommy. I'm going to tell the teacher. I'm going to get you detention. All these things make you worse, and they make you feel emasculated as a man. Even if you turn around and you just trade hands with him and you lose, you will still feel great about yourself. I've lost plenty of fights, won plenty of fights. I feel great. As long as you squared up and didn't cower out, do what you can do. A dude, a young boy, for his own sake, for his own psyche, for his own mind, a young boy has to handle it himself. He must. My inclination is that women should as well. Because women can be so, especially young women, can be so awful to each other. Boys can be awful to each other too, but women are more sensitive and they're very, very competitive with each other, and they can just be so terrible to these young girls. You really hear some heartbreaking stories about that. Look, if it was my daughter, I don't have daughters. I only have sons. The Kellys only make sons. But if I had a daughter, I would tell her to square up and get it handled, because any other way just makes the problem worse. All right. We are going to speak with Spencer Lindquist about the newest George Soros effort to replace American voters in swing states. You're going to want to tune in for this one. And then after that, we're going to talk about the system. They picked a target, and they got him to bend. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Spencer picked that song, Chris? Man, my respect level for Spencer was already high, and it just got higher. Joining me now, Daily Wire's very own investigative reporter, and a very, very good one, Spencer Lindquist. Spencer, it is your story, absolutely not my story, so I will let you tell it. The headline is How Soros-Backed Organizations Leverage Waves of New Immigrants to Sway Elections. Well, the Soros people are back. What are they doing, Spencer?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So something that we've seen over the course of this Biden-Harris administration, of course, is a massive surge in illegal immigration. But these organizations, these Soros-backed organizations, are actually looking at current non-citizens who are eligible to be naturalized in the United States, and they're attempting to leverage them to sway the outcome of national elections. So one of the organizations that I looked at is called the National Partnership for New Americans, and they've got a campaign called New American Voters. They're quite explicit about their intentions, and they actually maintain demographic reports on various different swing states, Arizona and Georgia being some of the most important here. And they look at how the newly naturalized citizen population can be used to completely alter the outcomes of elections at the state level and then at the national level as well.
Okay, Spencer, I need you to walk me through this because it gets to be such a tangled web, especially when it comes to politics and Soros types. There's this group and that group, and this one's a nonprofit, but this one's a PAC, and this one funds that one. Okay, but walk me through this. What is this organization?
Yes, what this organization does is they give assistance to people trying to become citizens, and they're doing it for an explicitly political reason. So this campaign, this New American Voters campaign, effectively admits that they're trying to reshape the demographics of the electorate, try and include more foreign-born residents in the electorate so that they can fundamentally alter our elections. So if you look at a state like Arizona, that's a place where, election integrity concerns aside, Biden beat Trump in 2020 by 11,000 votes. And this organization is celebrating that there's been 62,000 newly naturalized voters in Arizona just in the last 4 years. And we see a similar trend in Georgia, where Biden won by just 12,000 votes. And now, 4 years later, you've got 86,000 newly naturalized voters in the state of Georgia. And these are demographics that oftentimes break overwhelmingly for the Democratic Party. And you've got this Democratic mega donor, George Soros, funding these organizations that are accelerating the fundamental restructuring of the demographics of our electorate in a way that will alter the state of play for the Republican and Democratic parties.
Speaking with Spencer Lindquist, investigative reporter for the Daily Wire. Okay, Spencer, so clarify this for me. They're getting these people citizenship in critical swing states like Georgia and Arizona. Are they focused pretty much exclusively on swing states, which would obviously give away the game? Or are they doing this in California and South Carolina too?
So they don't actually give specific state-by-state breakdowns of who exactly they've naturalized, but they do say that they've assisted in the naturalization of 250,000 people. And, of course, that's a large number, particularly when you think of some of these states are being decided by 10,000 or 12,000 vote margins in some of our recent national elections. But they do have these specific demographic reports on states like Arizona, on states like Georgia and Michigan. And of course, these are places that have incredibly outsized influence in determining our elections. And really, I mean, they say openly, quote, that they want to, quote, sway the outcome of national, state, and local elections. And they say that this demographic is part of what they call the New American Majority. They called a political sleeping giant. So really, they're being quite explicit about their desire to fundamentally reshape the electorate. You know, oftentimes politics is predicated on trying to convince the electorate. These organizations have said, instead of trying to convince the electorate, we're going to pack the electorate with new voters, and that's exactly what they've been trying to do here.
Okay, is this a 501c3? Is this a quote nonprofit, a charitable organization who shouldn't be participating in politics?
This is nominally a nonpartisan organization because, of course, these types of entities have to be nonpartisan. But you can tell by their language, you can tell by the ways in which they talk about Trump, and most importantly, you can tell by who they're funded by. George Soros, a Democrat mega donor. That they certainly have a political bias towards the left. And they're not alone. There's also the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. They do a very similar thing where they try and assist with the naturalization of non-citizens, try and make them citizens so that they can vote. And they also, they've taken money from the Open Society Foundations, which is George Soros' organization, and they're also trying to prevent the deportation of even illegal immigrants. So we see unambiguously where both of these Soros-backed organizations stand on immigration and their political bias more broadly.
Spencer, you do this stuff all the time, and you do it very well. George Soros is a name that every single person listening to the sound of my voice has heard that name, knows the name, they know about George Soros. But honestly, I am taken aback by how often this guy's name comes up when I am digging into things. It's almost like no matter the cause, if it is a damaging left-wing cause and you dig deep enough, it ties back to this freaking guy. How often do you run into this guy, and more specifically his organization, him and his dirtball son?
Oh, all the time, all the time. I mean, if you look into virtually any issue, yeah, I've reported on immigration quite extensively, and I've seen the Open Society's foundation pop up, along with some others, the Ford Foundation, the groundswell. There's this large, sprawling network, really, of these left-wing funds that send money out to these nonprofits who really do the on-the-ground, street-level activism. But the Open Society Foundation, which, of course, is George Soros's organization, really is one of the, if not the premier left-wing funding organization, and its presence can really be seen across issues, whether it's immigration, whether it's gender and sexuality issues. Regardless of what it is, we see the Open Society Foundation in virtually every single political domain.
How about that? He's Spencer Lindquist. I would highly recommend you go follow him and read his stuff. You'll be a lot smarter at the Daily Wire. Spencer, I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
I sometimes George Soros comes up so often that sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm hesitant to bring him up because I don't want to sound like we've found some boogeyman who's responsible for so much of the damage, but we've found some boogeyman who's responsible for so much of the damage. This is one of those international commies who has dedicated his life to wrecking our country. And maybe the most staggering thing about it is no Republican administration to date has done anything about it. And unless I'm mistaken, no Republican DA in any red state has attempted to take apart this insane, damaging legal network he has set up for himself. How can we survive as a country if we are going to allow a hostile billionaire to reside within our borders and spend inhuman amounts of money taking us apart bit by bit? We cannot survive that. No nation can survive that at all. Something has to be done. Where are the DAs? Where are the Republican presidents? It's wild how often these roads lead back to them. Anyway, remember I was talking last night about, remember when I sneezed on air and I said if you look at a light, it stops the sneeze? Chris said I was wrong. And you said I was wrong too. The emails came pouring in. Jesse, it's the other way around. Light stimulates the nasal nerves. He said they run next to each other. It will generally help make you sneeze. That's what this guy said. This guy said, you got it backwards, brother. As a lifelong sun sneezer, I will tell you that it is, in fact, looking at the light that makes you sneeze. Tried and proven. You're welcome. I said something factually incorrect on the air, and I believed it. My whole life, I've been looking at lights, and I guess I convinced myself it helped stop me sneeze, but I was doing the wrong thing. But let me ask you something. Now that I lied to everyone, am I officially a journalist?
It's Journalist Jesse.
That's a good point, Chris. I didn't knowingly lie, so that if I knowingly lied, that would make me a journalist. Good point, Chris. I am great. I agree. That's not really what Chris said specifically, but that's how I took it. Anyway, have you switched your phone to Pure Talk? You know they have, you know, you can keep your phone when you switch to Pure Talk. And you can keep your number. But you know, they have all the new fancy stuff that anyone else has, too. In fact, they've got one of those iPhone, I don't know, 16, 150, whatever the number is on. They're sending me one. Whatever the new phone is, you have it. Android, iPhone, all that stuff. Keep your phone. Give up your phone. I don't care. Keep your number. Give up your number. But switch to Pure Talk. Stop funding companies who hate you. Stop funding companies who do evil things to your country. It takes 10 minutes to switch, and they're lovely on the phone. I had dinner with them last night. You want to talk about patriots. Patriots. Two-time, two-tour, I should say, Vietnam veteran. That's the CEO of Pure Talk. Sound like a company you want to support? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment this hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we still have more than an hour left. So let's just discuss an example of the system. Why do so many people choose to become an ally of an evil system? Well, because being an ally of an evil system, it's a guarantee to access to things enemies of the system don't have. So we have an evil system that runs our country. And if you just give up your values, give up what you know to be right, and choose to become a servant, a loyal servant of the system, it means you will have access to things enemies of the system don't in this way. You ever read about communist countries and how you had to be a member of the Communist Party? You see, everyone in the Soviet Union was not a member of the Communist Party. Not everyone was a member. But if you wanted a government job anywhere in government, you had better be a member. If you wanted any important position of power in society, you had to become a member of the Communist Party. It's the ultimate all-access club. Well, we have the very, very similar thing here. It's not that there's a party membership you have to officially apply to, but you have to do the bidding of the system, never oppose the system, never cause the system any harm. And if you do, even though you're a talentless loser, you probably find yourself with a couple $100,000 a year gig at a university somewhere being the DEI specialist or something. You're a servant of the system. Now, that's one reason people choose to become part of it, because your life gets better. Another reason people choose to become part of it is because the system is very, very powerful and it can destroy you. And it will destroy you. The system only exists to do what? We talk about this all the time. To protect itself. That's why the system exists. That's why it does the things it does, to protect itself. Like any criminal organization, it exists to protect itself. And it will protect itself violently if necessary. Corrupt governments murder people, usually lots of people. They imprison them, they hurt them, and they murder them. You remember this guy, Pavel Durov? Pavel Durov, he's a guy who founded Telegram. Telegram is a social media messaging site. And it was, historically, has been very, very secure. But Pavel, he sat down with Tucker Carlson a while back. I played for this a while ago. Talked about the FBI breathing down his neck. You see, Telegram didn't do like other social media companies have done and hand over all your data, all your messaging, all that other stuff. They believed more in privacy than the others. And here was him talking to Tucker.
Last time I was in the US, I brought an engineer that is working for Telegram, and there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back by cybersecurity officers or agents, wherever they are called.
The US government should hire your engineer?
That's my understanding. That's what he told me.
To write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Would allow the U.S. government to spy on people who use Telegram?
The U.S. government, or maybe any other government, because a backdoor is a backdoor regardless of who is using it.
The messaging app that allowed you to share message privately, the federal government's been going after it to try to make sure they can read your mail. Oh, he continued on.
Whenever I would go to the U.S., I would have two FBI agents greeting me at the airport, asking questions. One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising. And I thought, you know, we're getting too much attention here. It's probably not the best environment to run.
Why would the, had you committed a crime?
No, they were interested to learn more about Telegram. They knew I, you know, left Russia. They knew what we were doing, but they wanted details. And my understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to kind of, in a way, control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job. It's just that for us running a privacy-focused social media platform, that probably wasn't the best environment to be in. We want to be focused on what we do, not on government relations of that sort.
After all that, Pavel Durov hopped on a private jet. He was in Dubai, as one does, Chris. He was in Dubai, hopped on a private jet, flew to Paris. He lands in Paris. He's promptly arrested and interrogated. No clear crime has been committed. And then, well, now I should say, we are treated to this headline. Telegram CEO Pavel Durov capitulates, says the app will hand over user data to governments to, of course, stop criminals, you see. Why do people choose to become part of an evil system? They know it's evil. It's not hard to look at the things the system does and say, wow, that is evil. Why do they choose to be part of it? Well, being part of it can be lucrative, can be very, very profitable. And being against it can be flat out deadly. The system attacks without end its enemies, and they get them to bend. That's how the system works. And as I've said, the most dangerous thing happening on the planet by a mile is Western governments turning their guns inward against their own people. And they're doing it all the time. All right? All right. Whatever. We have an hour. Let's do some emails. Let's talk about a corporation bending the knee to us. Ooh. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.